All right, so picture this. You're running a huge company, like thousands of employees, multiple divisions, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
And then out of the blue, bam, something goes wrong. Could be a legal problem, maybe an ethical mess, who knows?
Right.
But here's the kicker. You had absolutely no idea this was even happening.
Yeah.
So then the question is, are you still responsible?
Well, that's a pretty fascinating question to think about, and it's actually the core of what we're diving into today. We're going to be looking at this landmark case, Graham versus Alice Chalmers, decided by the Delaware Supreme Court way back in 1963.
And what's really interesting is that this case, even though it's from so long ago, is still cited all the time in
Yeah.
corporate oversight cases. So
Yeah.
the decisions they made back then still have a huge impact on how business is run today.
Absolutely, it's a big one. And to really grasp the impact, we got to rewind a bit back to the 1950s. Take a look at Alice Chalmers, the company at the center of it all.
Okay.
This was no tiny startup. We're talking over 30,000 employees. They had this decentralized management structure, meaning tons of different departments kind of doing their own thing and pulling in revenue of over $500 million.
Wow.
That's billions in today's money.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. So a huge operation with a lot going on. What was it that set off this whole legal battle?
Well, it all started when employees in one of their divisions, they got caught engaging in a price-fixing scheme
Uh-oh.
red-handed. And the immediate question was, were the company directors liable, even though they claimed they had no clue this illegal stuff was happening right under their noses?
Okay, so that's where things get really interesting.
Right.
Because you have these directors, the folks at the very top, saying, hey, we were totally in the dark. But then on the other side, you have this huge violation happening within their own company.
Exactly. And it gets even more complex because the plaintiffs arguing against these directors, they pointed to past issues. Specifically, they brought up FTC consent decrees from way back in 1937. That's basically agreements Alice Chalmers made with the government to settle earlier concerns about their business practices.
Hold on. 1937. That's decades before this price-fixing thing even happened. Are you saying that agreements made that long ago could be used to hold these directors responsible for something they say they didn't even know about?
Well, that was a big part of the plaintiff's argument. They were essentially saying that those past agreements should have been a huge red flag for the directors, and that from that point on, they had this responsibility to watch out for similar problems popping up.
But wouldn't that mean constantly being suspicious of every single department?
Yeah.
How could any director realistically keep up with everything happening in a company that massive?
And that's where the court's decision becomes super important, and it all boils down to this idea of red flags. Basically, what they said was directors, they're not expected to be mind readers, but they are responsible for taking action if there are clear warning signs, those red flags.
Okay, so it's not about micromanaging every single employee. It's more about being aware of those signals that something might be off. But what exactly counts as a red flag? Wouldn't that be different depending on the company and the situation?
You're right, that's a crucial point. What might be a screaming alarm for one company could be nothing for another.
Right.
It all depends on the industry, the company's history, how big they are, even their overall risk tolerance. There's no one-size-fits-all definition.
So how's a director supposed to navigate this? Seems like they're walking a tightrope between trusting their team and being on high alert for trouble.
Well, the court in Alice Chalmers, they actually made a distinction between not having any kind of system at all to monitor for potential issues versus having a system but then ignoring all the warnings it gives you. That whole
Right.
idea of having a system and actively paying attention to it, that became super important. And it actually foreshadowed what we now know as the Caremark standard in corporate law.
The Caremark standard. What's that all about? How does that connect back to this Alice Chalmers case?
So, the Caremark standard, it basically lays out what's legally expected of boards when it comes to oversight. It takes those ideas from Alice Chalmers and says that directors, they have a duty to really try, in good faith, to implement and keep up information and reporting systems. Systems that are reasonably designed, to give them the information they need to make smart decisions
Yeah.
and keep an eye on the company's activities.
So it's not enough to just plead ignorance and say, I didn't know. You have to show you actually made an effort to stay in the loop. That makes sense, but I imagine it's got to be tough to actually prove what a director knew or didn't know at any given moment.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Trying to get inside someone's head and prove what they intended to do, that's incredibly difficult. But the courts, they've come up with ways to assess this, you know?
Yeah.
They look for stuff like, were there obvious warning signs that got completely ignored? Or were there deliberate attempts to avoid asking questions? Like, questions that might uncover some uncomfortable truths. It's about looking for patterns of behavior that suggest it's more than just simple ignorance.
So you can't just bury your head in the sand and hope everything worked out.
Exactly. There's this whole idea of ostrich syndrome where someone just avoids information that might cause problems for them.
Oh, yeah?
The courts, they've made it crystal clear that's not a valid defense. Directors, they have a responsibility to be proactive in seeking out information, not just waiting for problems to blow up before reacting.
This is getting pretty serious. What are the real-world consequences if directors don't meet these standards? What happens to them?
Oh, the stakes are high. We could be talking legal liability, financial hits for the company. Their reputation could take a serious blow. And that's not even mentioning the damage to the director's own career and their standing in the business community.
Wow. Yeah, that paints a pretty clear picture of how crucial this duty of oversight really is.
Yeah.
It's not just about showing up to board meetings and making big decisions.
No.
It's about being involved, engaged with what's happening in the company and taking responsibility for what goes on, even if you weren't directly involved in whatever went wrong.
You got it. That's exactly it. And to really emphasize how much of an impact this Alice Chalmers case and the Caremark scandal that came after has had, get this. A 2023 study found that a whopping 78% of corporate oversight cases still cite Alice Chalmers.
That's a huge number. But let's be real, Alice Chalmers, that was decided way back in 1963.
Yeah.
Things were different then.
Yeah.
How has all this technology, the sheer amount of information we have today, how has that affected this whole idea of director liability?
That's a fantastic question. It's something that legal experts and people in the field are wrestling with right now because on one hand, technology, it's given us some amazing tools.
Yeah.
Things like data analytics, instant communication, real-time monitoring, stuff that can make it way easier to stay on top of what's happening at a company.
Right.
But then on the other hand, this massive explosion of information, it creates its own challenges.
It's almost like a paradox. We have more ways to stay informed than ever before, but it also feels like it's easier to miss those crucial red flags because they're lost in a sea of data.
You nailed it. It's not just about having systems anymore. It's about having the right systems, the right people to analyze all that data, and the ability to cut through the noise and find the signals that really matter.
Hmm.
What counts as a red flag, that definition might be changing in this data-driven world we live in now.
So how are directors supposed to find that balance? Staying informed without getting completely overloaded with information, it seems impossible.
It's definitely a challenge. No easy answers there. But one thing's for sure. The duty of care, the level of diligence expected from directors, it's never been more important.
Right.
And it's never been more complex. They got to be tech savvy, understand data, and know how to ask the right questions. That's how they can make sure they're getting the info they need to fulfill their oversight responsibilities.
Okay, so today we've covered a lot.
Yeah, we have.
From the history of Alice Chalmers and the Caremark standard to these modern challenges with technology and information overload, it's a lot to process. But I think it's vital for anyone involved in corporate governance to grasp these concepts.
Absolutely.
Because they have real-world consequences on how businesses run and how directors are held accountable.
I completely agree. Understanding these principles isn't just about avoiding legal trouble. It's about creating a culture of responsible leadership, ethical decision-making, and that benefits the company, its employees, shareholders, everyone, really. Society as a whole.
So we've talked about all the history, the legal standards, and the challenges of oversight in this world where data is king. But let's get down to brass tacks here. If you're a director sitting in a board meeting right now, what are some actual steps you can take to make sure you're meeting those obligations, protecting yourself and the company?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? It's easy to talk about concepts, but how do you actually turn them into something you can use?
Right, exactly. Our listeners, they want takeaways they can implement, like, right away.
Well, I think it starts with building this culture of compliance, ethical conduct, something that's woven into the fabric of the entire organization.
Okay.
And this is way more than just, you know, having some code of conduct buried on a website somewhere.
Yeah.
It's about making ethics and integrity part of the company's DNA, something everyone gets from the CEO down to the newest employee.
So it's about making ethical behavior everyone's responsibility, not just something the legal team has to worry about.
You got it. It's about setting the tone at the top and making it super clear. No shortcuts, no shady practices, anything that even hints at being wrong.
Right.
That's not tolerated.
That makes sense. But actually creating that kind of culture shift, that's going to be harder than it sounds. How do you actually make it happen?
It's definitely not a quick fix, but there are things companies can do.
Okay.
Regular training programs, for one, but not just boring lectures about compliance. Engaging sessions that really get the message across. You need clear ways for people to report concerns and, maybe most importantly, really strong whistleblower protections so people feel safe to speak up if they see something wrong.
So creating an environment where they feel like they can say, hey, this isn't right, without being afraid of what'll happen to them.
Exactly.
That seems super important, especially in those giant companies with lots of different departments where it's harder to keep an eye on everything.
You're absolutely right. Encouraging that kind of transparency, that's how you catch those problems early, before they turn into major disasters.
But even with the best intentions and a good ethical foundation, mistakes happen. Things fall through the cracks. So what then? How can directors make sure they've got the information they need for that effective oversight we've been talking about?
That's where those robust reporting systems we mentioned come in. The board needs access to good information. Timely, accurate, and relevant stuff about the company's operations. This includes financials, compliance efforts, and super important, any red flags that have popped up through the company's monitoring systems.
So we're talking about dashboards, reports, data analysis, giving the board a clear, simple view of what's happening everywhere in the company.
Precisely. And it's not just about how much information, it's about the quality. Directors have to be able to trust what they're seeing.
Right.
They need to know what's reliable and gives them an accurate picture of the company's risks.
That puts a lot of responsibility on the people who put those reports together.
Oh, absolutely. They play a huge role in making sure the board has what they need to make smart decisions.
Okay, so let's recap. Build the strong ethical culture, create safe ways for people to report concerns, and make sure the board has access to high-quality, reliable information. Is there anything else our listeners should keep in mind as they deal with this complex world of director liability?
Here's one last piece of advice. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Directors shouldn't just sit there and take in information. They need to be active, ask tough questions, dig deeper, challenge assumptions.
So it's not about blindly trusting management. It's about having a healthy dose of skepticism, a willingness to actually look under the hood and see what's really happening.
Exactly. Remember, that Alice Chalmers case, it really showed how important it is for directors to be informed and actively involved in oversight. They can't just assume everything's fine.
Well, we've certainly given our listeners a lot to think about today, from Alice Chalmers and the Caremark standard, all the way to the challenges of big data and how the idea of a red flag is changing. We've gone deep into the world of director liability.
I hope this deep dive has helped our listeners feel more informed and prepared to take action, whether they're on a board themselves or advising companies on governance.
Because at the end of the day, knowledge is power. And in the world of corporate governance, that power can protect you, your company, and hopefully contribute to a more ethical and responsible way of doing business.
Well said. And with that, we'll leave everyone with a final thought. As technology keeps changing so rapidly, how can we make sure our legal and ethical frameworks keep pace so we can navigate the challenges and opportunities that are coming our way?